Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the South Bay Show, South Bay Spotlight, on June 5th, 2014. Live, love, laugh, and leave a legacy. That's what we do here in the South Bay of Los Angeles, and it's a beautiful place to do just that. I'm your host, Joe Terry, and the South Bay Show is brought to you by the Academy of Foreign Languages. If you have any interest in learning a new language or would simply like to brush up on existing language skills, you should know about the Academy of Foreign Languages. Located in Palos Verdes, the Academy of Foreign Languages specializes in the art of communication. Their mission is to provide the finest language instruction possible. They recognize that each student has distinctive needs and craft their teaching technique to optimize an individual's particular learning skills. At the Academy of Foreign Languages, they strive to create a comfortable environment conducive to learning. So whether you're learning a new language or would simply like to converse in your native tongue, the Academy of Foreign Languages can accommodate you. For more information, visit their website at www.academyofforeignlanguages. It's all spelled out, academyofforeignlanguages.com, or call 310-975-4133. That's 310-975-4133. You can read all about our many adventures on Facebook at facebook.com/The South Bay Show. Or visit us on our website at thesouthbayshow.com. Persistence, passion, principle, and purpose. That's what we talk about here on the South Bay Show. And, of course, I'm usually not alone with our great partnership with SouthBayByJackie.com and producer of the South Bay Show, Jackie Balestra. She's not with us today. She's still traveling back to the U.S., decompressing. She's been on a whirlwind trip of the continent, Italy, Bavaria, Austria, other places in Europe, and I hope she's safe and traveling well with her husband JB, and she will be back shortly, perhaps tomorrow, I'm not sure, but today we have a really amazing guest, and we're going to talk about a really amazing place. Our guest this morning is Chelsea Hogan. Chelsea is a museum educator with 8 years of experience teaching diverse audiences in a variety of museums in Los Angeles, Washington, D.C., and upstate New York. She is currently an education specialist at ESMOA, that is the El Segundo Museum of Art, where she designs and implements programming for this dynamic new art laboratory. Though mainly involved in planning and executing school and adult programs, she also curated the memorable June 15th, 2013 body painting installation Objectified, and planned and emceed two Elvis tribute artist shows in connection with ESMOA's Fame experience. Chelsea was a gallery teacher at the Getty Villa from 2009 to 2012, where she taught programs based on the antiquities collection for K through 12 schools, families, adult learners, and the general public. Some of her key projects there included gallery courses on portraiture and modern art, touch tours for blind, low vision groups, and interactive activity-based programs for adults. Chelsea earned her MAT in museum education from George Washington University while working as an educator in a variety of Washington, D.C. museums. She completed her bachelor's degree in art history from Ithaca College in 2005. In her spare time, she can be seen performing the improv comedy house team, The Audience, at Mai's West Side Comedy Theater in Santa Monica. I'm going to have to check that. This morning, Chelsea is going to give us all the details on Experience 11, Scratch, opening this weekend at ESMOA. Welcome to the program, Chelsea.
Hi, Joe. It's so nice to be here. And my goodness, you just read my whole life story.
Yes. Well, the wonderful awesome. Thing about that is I just get to read it. Jackie writes it.
So awesome.
She's a wonderful producer and writer. And so, you know, first of all, I just have to back up a moment. We're gonna get into Scratch, Experience 11 Scratch, and I was able to visit and meet with you briefly while the exhibit was being created. It is kind of monumental art. I mean,
absolutely.
Is it 30 feet high? Is that?
Yeah, absolutely. Yep, just about 30 feet high. Yep.
30 feet high, multiple walls. It's amazing.
Yeah.
But first, exactly. Before we get into that, I have to ask you, you know, you are kind of like a serial museum educator. This is something that rings throughout your career. Why the fascination with museums?
Oh, I love it. Well, I got my degree in art history from Ithaca College in 2005, and, you know, it was just this kind of crazy coincidence. I actually went into college thinking I wanted to be a musician and a DJ, and I was taking all these TV radio courses, and then I just realized I didn't actually like it. Like, I didn't like, you know, fiddling around with machines. I didn't really connect with them. I didn't like taking tests all about microphones. No offense, Joe.
Yeah.
I know you probably like that sort of thing. And I loved the DJ aspect, but I didn't. It was so much just about machines. And you know, in certain rare moments, the voices of my parents sort of ring in my head. And I remember my dad always saying to me, you know, every kid should take an art history class in college. You know, it really builds character and teaches you all about the world. So I thought, you know, I don't really know what I want to do, so I might as well just take one. And I absolutely fell in love with it. I think it was because, you know, I had a really hard time in school, you know, kind of growing up and remembering the names and dates and in history class. And when I looked at art, I just honestly, the world opened up for me, and I was able to make so many connections just in terms of, you know, the schooling I'd been doing up until that point, but really just in terms of being alive and being connected with the world and humanity. And it opened up my eyes completely. And at that point, I just was kind of like, oh, man, what am I going to do with this? I love art history so much. How am I going to survive? You know, how am I going to make a living off of this thing that I'm so passionate about? And I started really thinking about museums at the direction of my professors. And I didn't even know about museum education. I mean, I thought if you worked in a museum, you basically were like confined to a little, you know, basement cubicle and, you know, dusting off old books and, which, you know, I love old books now because of the show we're opening this weekend. But I just had this image of sort of this dusty, lonely, secluded person. Mm-hmm. And that's not me. I love to be out. I love to talk to people. I love to connect with people. But I started working at the Johnson Museum at Cornell. You know, I'm from Ithaca, New York. Mm-hmm. And I started working with kids. And I had been a camp counselor growing up, and I always loved kids. I was a babysitter. And I thought, you could actually, like, this could be a job, that you could teach kids about art and really help them, you know, early on to make the kinds of connections that I had only started to make in college. Mm-hmm. And it just completely... It was like lightning, and it was just destiny. I had to do it. So I basically just kind of kept following the path. I basically just did what my mentor did at Cornell, and I went to the same master's program and just applied for jobs and was lucky enough to get a job at the Getty right out of my master's program. And, you know, just it's just kind of what I'm meant to do, I think.
Wow. It is something fundamental. The way you say it allowed you to connect with, you know, education and schooling that you'd had previously, but it just didn't mean as much until you connected to the art of that history period. So now,
in the way that it's sort of like a history book with pictures, but also in the way that it's a record of what people from the past, even if you're looking at something from the 70s, you know, you're looking at something from the past, or even if you're looking at something from today, like our scratch artists, you know, this is a record of our contemporary history, and it tells us so much about humanity.
Now that kind of brings us full circle, because what we're talking about here is a combination of current art. I mean, I actually was there with you when the artists were still finishing touches on the artwork.
That's an amazing thing to get to witness. They were working for 2 weeks practically around the clock.
Right.
And so we had about 57 artists coming and going throughout those 2 weeks, and just creating amazing work before our eyes, you know, and working together and completely getting along, and just it was beautiful.
So tell us how this concept of Experience 11 came to be.
Yes. Well, I have to say that this is actually a collaboration not only with these graffiti artists, and there are six sort of main graffiti artists from all over L.A. That represent different factions of L.A., different, you know, of course, their own artworks and their own art, but then they also have their own crews. But this is not only a collaboration with Asmoa and these artists, but also with the Getty Research Institute. This is probably the most important aspect of this whole collaboration. And actually, it started in 2012 with a man named Ed Sweeney, which if anybody knows Asmoa, you know that our founders are Brian and Ava Sweeney, but there's no relation whatsoever. So that was kind of a funny synergistic coincidence. But Ed Sweeney is, he works for Warner Brothers. He's a pilot, so he has a really cool life. He gets to fly all over the world, you know, to movie sets and, you know, jet around movie stars and stuff like that. But he's also an art collector. And in particular, he's a really big fan of graffiti. And for many years, he's been compiling incredible artworks by artists from all over the city in his own personal black book. So basically, when he sees an artist that he really likes, you know, he asks them to hit his book, and they create these incredible artworks inside. And he became really, really fascinated with this whole process, that you can have this book, kind of like your own archive or your own art piece, filled with amazing artworks by, you know, really incredible contemporary artists. And so he actually went to the Getty Research Institute. There's a rare books collection. And the curator of that collection, the sort of keeper of all the books, you know, he's actually interesting because he's very much opposite that personality that I was describing earlier of the dusty person in the basement. Mm. But he is the keeper of the rare books. And Ed Sweeney, and his name is David Braffman. And so Ed Sweeney approached David Braffman and Marsha Reed, who also works at the GRI, and said, you know, wouldn't it be cool if you commissioned LA's graffiti artists to create a book? These books are so amazing, you know, and he showed them his own black book, and they were just astounded by the artworks on each page. And so what happened then was that 150 artists, many of whom are in our show, went to the GRI and met with David Braffman. David Braffman pulled these books out of the archives and was showing them to these artists. And it was this amazing confluence of, you know, these contemporary graffiti artists and these old books, some of which date all the way back to the 15th century. So, you know, you're talking about 600-year-old books.
Right.
And what happened was that these artists were amazed by the artistry, you know, the images. Obviously, these books are all handmade, handwritten. You know, there's incredible pictures in there, but also the writing is so beautiful and so impressive. And these artists are really working on, you know, we kind of call them artistic problems, you know, and the same sort of things that these graffiti artists do today. So it was just this incredible, like, oh my God, these things are so cool, you know, from an artist's perspective. Mm-hmm. They're just so graphically interesting, but also just to see the connection between 400 years of history, or 600 years of history, and say, yeah, you know, we wrestle with those same problems. You know, we're trying to figure out, you know, the relationship between words and pictures and perspective and line, just like these artists were doing in these books.
Right.
So from there, basically, they created this book that Ed proposed. and it was bound together. So 150 artists participated, bound together. And actually, I should say, probably the most fascinating book to all of these artists that Braffman showed to them was a book called Liber Amicorum, or Book of Friends, which is from the 16th century. So this book, and there were actually a few, really, you know, when the artists looked at this, they were amazed to notice that these books of friends, were actually kind of like contemporary black books, because what these artists would do is they would all contribute to the same book, just like, you know, in Ed Sweeney's book or all of these black books that are passed among artists, you know, even today. Mm-hmm. So this is a tradition. This not only are the artists working on the same sort of, you know, artistic or pictorial problems as the older artists were doing, they're actually also contributing to books just like these older artists were doing. So when they bound this book together of 150 artists and donated it to the Getty Research Institute, they decided to name it the L.A. Liber Amicorum, or the L.A. Book of Friends. Mm-hmm. And this is something that just gives me chills, and I know can move a lot of us to tears, because it's just, it's a beautiful concept, and it's a really amazing thing that these graffiti artists attached to this Liber Amicorum aspect, too. And they said, yeah, we want to call our book the Liber Amicorum, the L.A. Liber Amicorum, the L.A. Book of Friends. So that book was donated to the GRI, and Braffman just always wanted to do a show, basically exploding the black book, and that's what he's done. It's really, really incredible. So when visitors go to see Scratch, they'll see works on the walls by these artists, but they'll also see the Liber Amicorum book on view for the first time ever, and then 17 other rare books from the Getty collection that these artists saw and were inspired by.
I can scarcely, it's very difficult to approach this subject because of it's so big and has so many different aspects to it. But first of all, we're talking about the Getty Research Institute, one of the finest rare book collections in existence. And a book from the 15th century that it's what used to be referred to as an illustrated manuscript. But of course, as you said, these books are handmade in every way. The paper is handmade, as the book itself, the writing, the incredibly beautiful illustrations. And this particular book was a collection of a collection of religious stories. Or is it?
You know, in some ways, it's also just literally, you know, trying to, you know, it could be coats of arms.
Yes.
It could be letters.
Yes.
It's actually very, very similar in a lot of ways to, you know, a graffiti black book, actually, you know, in that when you leaf through, I now have my own black book that I've circulated among the artists, and when you leaf through it, you sometimes see letters, you sometimes see elaborate pictures. It's really, you know, it's a way to kind of leave your mark, which is part of why the show is called Scratch, is this idea of, you know, just leaving a mark on history, leaving a mark somewhere that, you know, sort of relates to your identity the way that a coat of arms might. And that's really the LA or the older Liber Amicorum books.
One of the things that, I mean, having the Getty involved is just amazing, because one of the things is that they have the resources. I'm now at the LA Liber Amicorum, that's L-I-B-E-R-A-M-I-C-O-R-U-M, the LA Liber Amicorum page at the Getty Research Institute, and they have all of these pictures, beautiful images of the book, and I'm leafing through the pages, and it's just, it's really eye-opening how amazing these artists are in their different, you could say, they're all different kinds of styles, and certainly different iconography. There's classical Roman iconography. I'm looking here at a picture with a Crenshaw street sign and a picture of a beautiful man, his upper torso, but definitely with a black African American face, but his torso is very much more like the David of Michelangelo.
Incredible.
Oh my goodness. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. You seeing this now, the thing is though, what's amazing on top of amazing is that you didn't just give these artists, I mean, this is a book. I assume it's a typical 2 by 3 feet or 1 by 2 feet, but I mean, it's small, but
huge.
You gave,
it's actually, the LA Black Book is actually pretty big.
How big is it?
Pretty big. I'm not sure of the exact dimensions. But I'm thinking, I don't know, imagine like a big encyclopedia or a big dictionary or something that you might find at an old library. It's pretty big. I can see if I can find the dimensions for you.
But what you've done now with Experience 11 is you've given these artists a canvas that's 10 feet wide and 30 feet high.
Yeah, exactly. Which is a lot more typical, you know, of what they're used to as graffiti artists. Yeah.
Right,
so it's interesting to think about actually giving them the smaller canvas when, you know, arguably you could say they like to play on the larger canvas as well. But, I mean, these artists are incredibly versatile. And they're not just graffiti artists. Some of them are premier tattoo artists as well. That's really sort of their main gig. Mm-hmm. Some of them are art teachers, graphic designers. They're artists through and through. So they actually operate on a variety of canvases too, if you think about the body as a canvas as well.
But
they're incredibly versatile.
Right.
It's really amazing.
Right. Well, it's one of the you know, latest unique things that Esmoa as a art installation,
laboratory.
Art gallery, art laboratory. Is that what we're calling it now?
Absolutely. Yes. It's always been an art laboratory.
It's always.
In fact, that's why I always insist on, you know, we tend to just go just by Esmoa and not El Segundo Museum of Art. And people always, you know, they wanna find meaning in that very strange Dada sounding word. But that's what I love about Esmoa is it's unexpected. You know, you're not always gonna find the same sorts of things. You're going to always see something different. So we really want to be a place for experimentation. Our mission is to spread the spark of creativity.
Right.
So, you know, you do that through experimentation. You do that through some chaotic ingredients sometimes. You do that through fun. And, you know, just really, really connecting with people and with art.
Well, you know, if people want to ask a question, we're talking with Chelsea Hogan from the Museum Educator. Well, what is your official
title? Laboratory Educator or the Lab Technician or something like that.
What is your official title at Esmoa?
It is Education Specialist.
Education Specialist. Okay.
Yes.
We'll go with Laboratory Specialist, Esmoa.
Yeah, I wonder if I should change my title. Or, you know, sometimes I feel like the mom of Esmoa, the guard dog. I don't know. I'm everything.
and we're having a great discussion, and you should know about this place. You should visit this place, especially this coming weekend with the opening of Experience 11. If you would like to ask a question or make a comment, please give us a call at 714-242-5288. That's 714-242-5288. And actually, I have a caller, but this might be my co-host. Caller, you're on the air.
Chelsea, I have been listening to the radio program. I have been wanting to come and check out Esmoa, and I'm so happy to have you on as a guest. I got caught up in Blog World, and I'm Nick Arquette. And I'm your
co-host.
Hi,
Nick. Today. Really nice to meet you.
Great meeting you. And I've just been
great
listening
to
the program, actually. And I've been just so not only just touched by the fact that we get to have more art and more development here in the South Bay, but also just you as a person. I can't tell you how excited I was to just be listening and hearing what you're up to. So really, really nice to meet you.
Oh, that's really kind. Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
I had an opportunity to check out the space when it was being built, and I have to say it's such a unique space. And for those of you that are listening, have not seen the space, it's just in itself. They're doing some special events and a lot of different things down there, so it is really exciting.
Cool, yes. Please come on down to Esmoa. And just to remind everybody, we're only open on the weekends to the public. Mm-hmm. So Monday through Thursday, we're open to school groups and community groups by appointment. And then over the summer, we're going to be doing a summer camp for 4 weeks in July and August during the week. But on the weekends, from Friday through Sunday, 10 to 5, we're totally open, and it's absolutely free to come in. So that should sweeten the deal, hopefully.
Excellent. And then, of course, Experience 11 opens tomorrow at 7 to 10 p.m.,
It opens to the public on Sunday at 10 a.m.
Yes.
We have a private invitation-only party happening on Friday night. But on Sunday, Sunday is going to be really, really, really fun. So 10 to 5, as I've said. Mm-hmm. And then from 10 to 4, we have an art project going all day long. And the art project is going to be really fun and super connected to the show, where everybody's going to get a chance to make their own black book. So I was talking earlier about, of course, this greater book tradition and the black book tradition in the graffiti world, where you basically have this blank book and you invite artists to hit that book, and they can either, you know, write, maybe they write down a tag. I'm still learning all the cool phraseology. But, you know, they might tag it, or they might really sit down and, you know, create an elaborate picture, or their tag might be an elaborate picture. You never really know what they're going to put in there. But it's always really amazing to be able to leaf through these things and just have your own sort of archive to take home. But what will be fun about the Family Black Book Project is that we hope that families will, you know, circulate their books among each other. So not only will the artists be there and you can get a chance to have artists hit your book, but maybe your dad wants to hit your book, or, you know, your brother. And so it'll be a fun chance to really get to kind of assemble this really nice little community art piece that you can take home. So that'll be fun. And then at 2 p.m., we'll have curatorial remarks by David Braffman, who's the Getty Research Institute Rare Book Curator. So he's going to talk all about Scratch. I know that he can be moved to tears when he talks about it, so that'll be really amazing. He's got really a lot of passion and just a world of knowledge about these books. And, of course, the experience comes straight from his heart, so that'll be really fun. And a lot of the artists will be there as well, so you can meet them and hear a little bit about their process and their work. And then also, of course, we have a family scavenger hunt. Anytime that you come into Esmoa with your families, we'll always have something there for you to do, and that'll be available starting on Sunday, too.
Great. Wow.
That's great. You know, as a side note, too, I know that you guys have been offering the space up to special events. Is that something that you do on a regular basis? Is that something that you guys are kind of incorporating into your business model?
You know, that is actually a discussion. I mean, to be perfectly transparent, that's an ongoing discussion at Esmoa, because it is an amazing space. It's really tempting to, you know, want to have your wedding and your bar mitzvah there and all of that, because it's just, the ceilings are high. It's a beautiful building. Of course, you know, you're surrounded by amazing art. We, as a nonprofit, feel, and as a small nonprofit, we've actually doubled our staff size since we opened, and we now have 4 people on staff, 4 and a half if we count our part-time person. So we are a small staff. We have limited resources as a new nonprofit, and so we do have to be a little bit strategic about who we open it up to and why we open it up. And in general, we've been partnering with nonprofits and you know, education-related organization. So, for instance, on Saturday, it'll be really fun, and this is open to the public, Saturday night, and that'll actually be a little bit of a scratch preview. I'm hosting the Creative Writing Club at El Segundo High School. So they are having a slam, sort of like their final, performance night of a lot of the work that they've been doing the last few months. So that's the kind of thing we would do. We partnered with an organization called Olive Crest, which is it provides assistance to foster kids, essentially. It's foster care. And we did a fashion show that was a fundraiser for them. So we'll do things like that for nonprofits and sort of education-related initiatives. And then if a larger corporation would like to rent out our space, we would like to work with them to ask for a donation to Esmoa.
Yeah.
So that's kind of a new part of our nonprofit business model.
I'm in the nonprofit world as part of my other life, and so I know about the fashion show, and the reason I asked is because you kind of popped up onto the scene all of a sudden, and someone who puts on events and I raise a lot of money for charity. It just was one of those things that kind of hit my radar, so it's good to know.
Oh, good. And that's awesome, because that's definitely our concept. I mean, I recently instilled the Footloose rule at Esmoa, which is no dancing. but of course it's not completely true. But, you know, we don't want to have, like, kind of wild dance parties. But, we want to support other nonprofits and really be all about spreading the spark of creativity and sharing art together. So we can definitely do those kinds of events happily.
That's great. That's great. I have
a
girls. I have had absolutely no dancing. I have a kids group, which I'm always. I have a children's group that I work with that that would love to be able to be exposed to art. I think it'd be great to do an activities event. I know that you guys do a lot with school.
We do. Thank you. Yeah, and it goes back to what I was saying earlier. I mean, that's kind of. Maybe it's like sort of my life service project, because I just feel so passionately about art as a vehicle for learning. I mean, it can not only, you know, there's so many struggles in American education today, and, you know, all this stuff with the Common Core and changing curriculum. I mean, art and, you know, working with a museum educator who, like myself or my colleague, you know, not to tune our own horn, but, you know, we know how to teach from art, and we know how to make connections with kids and artwork. And that stuff totally takes care of all the Common Core standards, I mean, easily. But then taking, you know, it goes, I think, so much further, too, you know, to really, really get inside of a kid and really make an impact. I had a tremendous experience recently where I was teaching a group of, I think they were second or third graders, and I had them last year for our first experience when it first opened, and we were in front of a painting, and they were able to tell me, I'm not even kidding you, I like every single element of a painting that we had looked at last year that was in the same spot as the painting we were in front of. They said, oh, yeah, there was this ocean, and there was boats, and this was over here, and this was over here, and this was over here. And the teacher's jaw was just, you know, she was just completely shocked. She said, they don't even remember what we talked about last week, but they remember every single thing about this painting they talked about last year that they're not even in front of right now, you know? Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the connections are there. But, you know, I'm saying I don't remember anything about the Civil War from high school. But, you know, I worked in a museum that was Civil War era. I can tell you so many things about it now, you know, just completely off the cuff from my heart. I mean, that's amazing. That's not a small thing. And that's something that I really, really want to give back to kids and to enlist in kids. Art used to be a fundamental part of people's lives, and now it's just considered a hobby or an extra thing. But, you know, I think at Esmoa, you know, it's no small mission, but we want to kind of bring that passion for art back and, you know, bring back this idea that, you know, art can be a part of your everyday lives. It doesn't have to be this elitist, sequestered thing, and it can really make you better.
Well, this is so exciting, and it really is a great topic, because, like you say, art used to be at the center of life, and it wasn't that long ago. I mean, we're talking about, you know, since the dawn of electronic media, lots of things have changed. But prior to electronic media, so let's say 60 years ago, just 60 years ago within lifetimes, it used to be something that people did every day, tell stories, read books.
Sure.
What else could you do? Right.
Yeah. Nope. Honestly, the need to express ourselves is there. I mean, look at Facebook. People are curating their own images on Facebook every single day.
Right.
You know, when I assemble my profile picture and, you know, my cover photo and write my witty little, you know, status updates, I'm expressing myself. And, I mean, this is something that's a basic human need. And, I mean, look at Instagram, you know, the desire to record our lives in images. I mean, this is something that humans fundamentally need to do. And that's actually something else that's really at the core of the Scratch show. We're going to have a special surprise. I don't really want to ruin it. But when you first walk in, there's going to be a way for you to really interact with this whole Scratch idea that goes back to the ancient idea of basically, you know, early people scratching on caves and, you know, the sense of really needing to make sense of your world through art. I mean, that is a fundamental human need.
Right.
So it just, I don't know, it really gets me riled up when, you know, I hear administrators or, you know, people at the top in government talk, you know, cutting art, because it's like, man, this, we need this. And that's, I want to change that sort of concept too. You know, a lot of times when we go to schools, people say, oh, well, you know, I'll pass this on to the art teacher. And it's like, we want the math teachers here. You know, we want the English teachers here and the history teachers. My God, of course. You know, there are so many different ways to connect through art.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we need it.
I just want to ensure, I guess I'll mention it another couple of times, but if you just Google L.A., then Liber, L-I-B-E-R, and then Amicorum, that's A-M-I-C-O-R-U-M, you're going to be led to the Getty Research Institute's page for the L.A. Liber Amicorum. And each of the 151 images has been captured in amazing high-definition quality. I mean, and you can zoom in to look at these images, and it's just amazing.
Yeah, and of course, when you come to Asmoa, so the show opens on June 8th, and it closes on September 21st.
Mm-hmm.
And we have 18 rare books in the show, including the L.A. Liber Amicorum. And again, this is the first time it's ever been shown, ever. So that's a really special aspect of the show, too. What you'll get to do is, of course, the book itself can only be opened to one page at a time, and it will be changed over the months because it's sensitive to light, especially the pages that have more color in them need to be preserved.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll have iPads stationed in front of all of the bookcases, so you'll have the ability to leaf through the books the way that you might, you know, online at home, but, you know, with the book physically right there. So even though the book itself and all of the books will only be open to one page at a time, they will change, and also you can leaf through them on the iPads in front of the cases.
Excellent.
Yeah, so that'll be really cool.
So we're talking, we're having a great conversation with Chelsea Hogan, laboratory specialist at Asmoa. And we're gonna take a brief break, and we're gonna thank a sponsor. Nick, are you gonna do it, or would you like me to do it?
Go ahead and enroll. I've got the last sponsor that we have, British Choice.
Okay, great. Well, I will just say that it's never too early to begin planning your financial future. When it comes to protecting your assets and hard-earned dollars, you'll want experienced professionals with a proven track record and flawless reputation on your team. Briganti, Cameron, Waters & Strong, certified public accountants and consultants, is the largest full-service accounting firm in the South Bay, and they are dedicated to providing professional services of the highest quality. The partners are South Bay residents, deeply committed to serving the communities where they live, work, and play. They support a variety of local nonprofit organizations, such as Skate Park PV, Palos Verdes Land Conservancy, Palos Verdes Peninsula Land Conservancy, and the Torrance South Bay YMCA, Rotary and Pediatric Therapy Networks, among others. BCWS prides itself on providing national accounting technical expertise with the personal attention of a local company. This commitment to uphold high standards of excellence has proven key to their success and first-rate reputation. Their ultimate goal and reward is to see their clients achieve financial success as they define it, whether that means helping them to reduce their tax burden, assisting them with planning to ensure their financial security, succession planning, exit strategies, and wealth transfer. The partners and professionals of BCWS are committed to providing their clients with the expertise and guidance they need to reach their financial goals. For more information, visit the website at www.bcws.com or call 310-542-0011. That's 310-542-0011. Briganti, Cameron, Waters, and Strong, navigating your way to financial success. Well, Chelsea, just as in the world of accountancy, and, you know, there's different people gravitate towards different things in life. I did gravitate towards the machines. The machines and I are very good friends.
Okay.
And yet, you know, what you are doing is something that's very fundamental, as you say, to how humans interact. I mean, everyone and their brother in the world of that I live in, the world of internet development and web development and software engineering, has tried to figure out what makes Facebook so compelling, what makes social media so compelling. And I think you've hit on it, is that it's a need. People have a need to share their experiences, their two cents. They need to get their two cents in a social way, and they can do it on Facebook, or they can do it on a wall, or a curb, or a car, or you know, a face, or a backside, or wherever they can tag to get their personal thing across. That's a need, isn't it?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Humans need to express their essence and make sense of their world. And that's how they do it, through whether it's through Facebook or, like you say, that was beautiful. Absolutely. Whether it's on their bodies or, you know, on a wall. Of course, we like it when it's legal. yeah, absolutely. I think that that's true. And also, you know, as we're talking, I think part of what I'm saying, too, is that, and what I'm finding, is that actually there really isn't too much of a disconnect between the machines and the art world. I mean, it's interesting, too, like kind of in my own practice, people are always asking me, like, are you an artist? Are you a painter? And I'm not. I mean, I like to doodle every once in a while. But again, that sort of brain-hand connection is not something that is particularly strong with me. So I've never, and I also don't really have the kind of patience. And actually, that is something that you really need to be an audio engineer, to be a software engineer. You need to sit down and you need to, you know, put brain to hand and really concentrate for hours and hours and hours on end. I'm more hyper. I like to move around. And, you know, so the kind of art that I do is I do improv comedy, and that really works. That really resonates with me. But I think that there's a huge relationship between the sort of machine-oriented and the artist. I mean, the person that can sit there and, God, some of the writers in this show, you'll just watch their work, and we'll have a time-lapse video of them actually working over the past few weeks, and you'll just see. It'll, of course, go a lot faster because it's time-lapse. But just the concentration that goes into you know, these incredible letters, and you know, it's so precise and it is so technical. And again, like, I don't really connect with that. I don't really do that myself. So it makes a lot of sense. But the thing that I love about Asmoa is I do want to bring out that aspect too, and I do want to connect with that kid who, you know, is the more technical math science kid, and show him that there's a place, you know, for him, you know, maybe in art, or that he can connect on that level. So I really do think, I think art is amazing. I think there's really something for everybody, and that's what we want to do at Asmoa, is just make it really accessible to everybody and just show you, like, there's probably something here for you. If you don't like this show, maybe the next one will have something that you like.
You know, and I think about this in a lot of ways. You talk about exposure. How many families or underprivileged kids don't get a chance to just be exposed? When you talk about the elimination of art in the schools, how are you guys trying to reach some of those underprivileged kids? Are you guys kind of speaking to that audience and saying, you know,
yes,
you guys
actually,
don't
that's
get that
chance? core of our Asmoa initiative. I mean, we really started, so we opened at the end of January of last year with just a 2-person staff, and we thought, okay, what can we do in our first year, and you know, what really makes the most sense? So we really sought to serve El Segundo, and it was this really beautiful thing because all the El Segundo kids could walk to Asmoa, so it was really part of this very healthy day where, you know, they maybe have lunch in the park and, you know, they'd walk down here, and it was great. But of course, we realized, and the founders were extremely passionate and continue to be about, like, you know, the reason we really opened the doors of Asmoa and the reason that we have an education staff is to really be here for everybody. Mm-hmm. So we absolutely need to reach those kids. So one of the things that's really fantastic is I do have to give a shout-out to 2 of our sponsors, Tony and Monique Owen, who have donated to a bus fund. So they've basically said, we don't want any kid to not be able to come to Asmoa because they can't afford a bus. That just seems ridiculous to them. So they've been really supporting our bus fund, and we've been able to say, you know, if you can't afford a bus, you know, we'll provide it for you. And, you know, right now our education staff is 2 people still. So what we do then is we, you know, we reach out by mail, by email, by phone, and we try to make meetings with principals and teachers in sort of underserved areas. And really the surrounding area of Asmoa is what we're really feeling like we're able to do, so sort of the South LA area. But those, you know, any of the schools in the area, really any of the schools in LA are of course welcome to come. But we feel like, you know, what is manageable for a small staff and what is manageable and needed really here in the South Bay and in South LA. So that's kind of where we're concentrating right now. And we're physically going to the schools. My favorite thing that we're doing right now, and we're doing a million amazing things, I have to say, but my favorite thing that we're doing is that in advance of all of our school visits, we're going into the schools, and a lot of museums do this, actually, where they bring, you know, the educators will go to the schools and they'll show slides of the artworks that you can see when you go to the museum and talk a little bit about the visit. What I really love about Asmoa is that we're so small, we're so intimate, and, you know, I go to the storage area every day and I talk to the founders who own these things every single day, and they've been able to say, you know what, we can lend out some artworks to take into the schools. And actually, for this show, we were able to borrow 2 pieces from, 3 pieces from King Create, who's one of the main artists in our show, and we've been taking them to the schools and talking about them with the kids in advance of their visit. So they can actually look at a real artwork, an original artwork, not a slide, and really see the artist's technique and talk about, you know, what they see in the artwork. You know, all of our teaching is completely based on, you know, what the kids see in the art, you know, helping them to kind of using their comments to get a sort of bigger understanding of what's going on in these artworks. And then they feel really jazzed to come to look at it with their classes. So this is something that we're doing more and more. We're, you know, we're a small staff, so we do as much as we can. But that's at the core of our initiative right now, is to really work even more closely with the schools and to really get the kids who you know, wouldn't normally have access to a museum experience
amazing.
To be able to come. So if you know any schools like that, tell them to contact me, because we'd love to meet with them and have them come here.
Amazing. Hey, Nick, I want to give you ample time to do the weekend guide. So, hey, Nick, what's going on around town?
Well, I'll tell you, I have so much stuff from Jackie, and she says greetings, by the way, from Venice. And
awesome.
She said that
hi,
by
Jackie.
The time that we miss you, Jackie. She said by the time that you guys get this, she said she's going to be on her way back to the South Bay just in time to attend a couple of the events that are happening this weekend that you just don't want to miss. I want to tell you guys a little bit, and it's actually somebody who supported Walk with Sally. The unveiling of the Maestral Memorial at Seaside Lagoon will take place at 4 p.m. today. This is Thursday, June the 5th. Bob and Bill Maestral, co-founders of Body Glove International and inventors of the modern-day wetsuit, are being honored for their contributions to the diving and surfing industries. The memorial will consist of benches, a statue of twin brothers, and bricks engraved with donors' names. The unveiling will coincide with the grand opening of the new Dive and Surf Body Glove International headquarters. A ribbon-cutting ceremony will take place at the new facility immediately following the memorial dedication at 5 p.m. And the celebration includes music, food, drink, tours of the new facility. The Seaside Lagoon is located at 200 Portofino Way in Redondo Beach. The ribbon cutting will take place at 504 North Broadway in Redondo Beach. The celebration will continue afterward at the Waterman's in Hermosa Beach. And so if you plan to attend, RSVP 2, and it's Dinah, D-I-N-A-H, at bodyglove.com. Big supporters of the community. They do a lot of charity work. Such a great family. The Torrance Art Museum at the Jocelyn Center invites the public to attend the opening reception and panel discussion of Watchmen, Surveillance, and the Flaneur. On Saturday, June 7th, the exhibit curated by Max Prisinel, Lisa DeSchmidt, and Chris Reynolds examines the pressures of being watched via CCTV cameras and monitoring them. The panel discussion will be from 5 to 6 p.m., with the opening reception taking place from 6 to 9 p.m. The exhibition will be on view from Tuesday, June 10th through Saturday, July 26th, and the museum is open Tuesday through Saturday from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. The panel discussion and opening reception is free to the public, and no reservations are necessary. For additional information, visit the website at www.torrenceartmuseum.com. TorranceArtMuseum.com. We're talking so much art today. It's amazing. you know, it's great just to think about that. The Torrance Art Museum is located at 3320 Civic Center Drive in Torrance. The Palos Verdes Peninsula Chamber of Commerce presents the annual Palos Verdes Street Fair and Music Festival on Saturday, June 7th from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. and Sunday, June 8th from 10 a.m. to 9 p.m. Enjoy shopping, music, dining, and entertainment with more than 200 arts and crafts booths, carnival rides, international food court, a beer garden, children's petting zoo, and pony rides, community events, pet adoptions, and continuous live entertainment on two separate stages. Oh, my gosh, how could you want more? Convenient all-day carnival ride wristbands will be available for purchase. Tribute bands will be showcased on the main stage and under the big tent and will feature several different music genres, including rock, blues, R&B, a cappella, doo-wop, and Zydeco. Artisan craft brews and a variety of culinary delights, including wine and beer tasting, will be available in the International Food Court and Beer Garden. Free parking is available at the Peninsula High School with a free shuttle service to and from the fair. The campus parking lot is located on Silver Spur Road near the corner of Hawthorne Boulevard. The fair takes place at the North Center Drive in Rolling Hills Estates between Peninsula Center and the promenade on the Peninsula Mall. For additional information, visit the website at www.pvstreetfair.com or call Palos Verdes Chamber of Commerce at 310-377-8111. Show us your speed at the 10th annual Redondo Beach Triathlon. Yeah, that's something I kind of, it's on my bucket list. Taking place Sunday, June 8th, the USAT sanctioned triathlon takes place at Veterans Park with proceeds benefiting Cheer for Children. The sprint event involved a half-mile ocean swim, six-mile bike, and two-mile scenic run, while the mini sprint, a non-competitive race for friends, families, and kids 10 and older, will entail a quarter-mile ocean swim, a three-mile bike, and a one-mile scenic run. Commemorative awards will go to the top three in each division and top two relays in each division. Race tickets will be available for pickup on Saturday, June 7th from noon to 5 at the Triathlon Lab located at 1512 Aviation Boulevard in Redondo Beach. You must present your photo ID and your USA team membership proof for annual members to claim your race packet. For additional information and registration, visit the website at www.rbtriathlon.com/index. Veterans Park is located at 309 Esplanade Avenue in Redondo Beach. And our special guest, I want to say, talking about today, graffiti and tattoo artists will leave their mark on El Segundo to launch the first public display of the Getty Graffiti Black Book during Experience 11 Scratch, opening June 8th at the El Segundo Museum of Art. Many of LA's most influential graffiti and tattoo artists will cover the walls and the floors of ESMOA to publicly launch their 21st century encounter with an artist tradition, the Getty Graffiti Black Book. The contributing artist decided to give the Getty Black Book the title L.A. Liber Amicorum to capture the spirit of its transformation of rival writing crews into a Los Angeles Book of Friends. Now, ESMOA and the Getty Research Institute have invited Getty Black Book artists Axis, Create, Defer, I1, and Fish and Miner to co-curate those crews of creative friends from the LA graffiti art community and turn the art laboratory of ESMOA into an open black book. Graffiti and tattoo artists will transform the space into a cathedral of urban art for the first presentation of LA Liber Amicorum to the public with Scratch. The exhibit runs from June 8th through September 21st, and for additional information, visit the website at www.esmoa.org or call 424-277-1020. ESMOA is located at 208 Main Street in El Segundo. And that's what's happening this weekend.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Good.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that, I'm sorry?
No, I was just going to say lots of art, and it's kind of exciting because I just thought about, you know, how much is really available to us if we just kind of reach out. There is an opportunity to see and express, and it's right here in our own backyard.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's
you can get off Facebook for a second. And then you could come to ESMO and check in on Facebook.
There you go.
Take a picture on Instagram.
There you go. The South Bay Weekend Guide is brought to you by Rockin' Brews PCH. Rockin' Brews PCH. And thank you very much, Nick.
You're welcome.
I'm so glad, Nick, we've had this time together doing these shows while Jackie's been away. Thank you so much for coming in and taking over for co-host. I appreciate it. So thank you so much, Chelsea, for coming in and talking to us today.
Oh, my gosh. It was such a pleasure. Thank you, Joe and Nick.
It's amazing what you're doing at ESMOA. And this exhibit, Chelsea, I hope you're ready. Because I'm telling you from my heart that this might be one of the three most important art exhibits in the city of Los Angeles, which is one of the greatest centers of art and public art education in the world.
Oh my God.
And
well, we couldn't be more pleased by the thought of a lot of people coming down to ESMOA, and it's a totally free experience. So
we're
not trying to make money; we're just trying to spread the spark of creativity. So I hope it happens.
The only thing is that people don't know it exists.
Yeah.
That's the only thing. Otherwise, there's going to be an avalanche of people from the West Side and from Hollywood because this is so important what you're doing.
Yeah, well, we're a new nonprofit, so we don't want to spend too much money on advertising. So we want to put it all in education and our experiences. And so it's up to everybody who loves Esmoa to spread the word. Come on down.
Esmoa, ESMOA.org, ESMOA.org, 208.
And like us on Facebook and follow us on Instagram.
Okay. How did they follow you on Instagram?
At Esmoa.org.
At Esmoa.org. Great. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much, Chelsea Hogan.
Thank you.
Laboratory
great work.
Scientist.
Great work.
Yes.
Thank you so much. Well, I'll see you guys this weekend, hopefully.
All right. Thank you. Talk to you soon.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks.
That's our show for the day, ladies and gentlemen. And that's it.